welcome you. Today's a special day in the life of New Life Baptist Church. We are ordaining and installing deacons. And so it's an exciting time. Years back when we began, it was just my wife and I. And so I was the pastor and she helped with the books, and we were the custodians and we were the lawn cutters, and we, you know, it was just us. And so God has seen fit to bring godly men alongside for the journey that he has before us. And so if this is your first time visiting with us, we want to welcome you. This is a turning point in the life of our church as we are planting and understanding our calling here in Pflugerville and in the world. We had a wonderful missionary come and speak to us Tuesday night about the missions that they are participating with in Africa, and at the end of the service, in addition to our regular tithes and offerings, you'll have an opportunity to support them if you'd like to do that. And they've seen over 3,000 people come to faith in Christ this year. And that, you know what? That's why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. But it's not just that. It's not just that. One of the biggest churches in America, I was sitting with the associate pastor, and their goal was to reach every person in their city with the gospel. And he asked us, what percentage of our effort and time do you think is on evangelism? You know, we were young, seminary students, and we wanted to seem smart. And so we're all coming up with these percentages, you know, these big percentages. And he just laughed at us, and he said, no, it's only 5%. He said the other 95% is discipleship, because that's what we're called to. We're called to go and make disciples. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We should be investing in one another. And these men who have given their lives over and have made themselves available, we're going to be investing in them as they serve and invest in you all and approach exactly what God has called them to do. And so there's two offices in the church in God's word. One is pastor and the other is deacon. And so we're going to be installing these men shortly. Please turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3. While you are turning, I want you to know in this church, we're very grateful for our first responders, the military who goes out and fights on our behalf. And we're free because they're willing to go. The firemen who run in when we run out. The police we call when we don't have anywhere else to turn. And so if you're a first responder, we want to thank you for your service. As I thought about that this week, and I thought about the police, their motto is to protect and serve. And I got thinking that that's not just the motto for the police. That's really a good deacon motto too, isn't it? To protect and serve. That's their job. And so we're going to travel through a deacon's service. Not just a deacon's service, but what does it mean and what does it look like? And so we're going to pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 8. And we're going to read down through verse 13. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for these men who have offered their lives in willingness to serve. And Father, I pray this morning as we travel through this, through your word and through what you're doing in their lives and in the life of this church. I pray that, number one, that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and exalted, that his name will be above every name, that our eyes and hearts will turn to him, that we will come in obedience to your word and the joy that it is to abide with you and discover the fruit with which you call us to. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we begin with deacon instructions in these verses. And he gives guidelines for deacons and their wives. Deacons must be men of dignity. These are men that you can count on, that you can rely on. They can't be double-tongued. They don't say one thing and then do another. Or they don't tell you one thing and somebody else something else. They're not addicted to much wine, because if you're addicted to wine, you're not controlled by the Spirit of God. They're not fond of sordid gain. In other words, they don't use their position to gain an advantage over you. They hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. That means they're saved. They're beyond reproach, which means there's nothing that we can bring charge against them. They're to be the husband of one wife and good managers of their children and household. And their wives must be dignified, not malicious gossips. And that's important, because there's many things that can happen in a church and lots of opinions. How many of you have an opinion on some subject today? See, I told you, there's opinions across, there's lots of them. And engaging in that can undermine the call and what God's doing. Paul talked about that trouble existed in the church and divisions existed. And he said it would be better that you don't meet than you allow that to go on. They're to be temperate. In other words, self-controlled, measured, and be faithful in all things. These men, we have met with these families that are seated down front, and James, who is on his way shortly, and James, who's hiding in the back. Everybody turn and look at James. They've been tested. You guys elected. You guys voted, and we met with different ones, and over a process of allowing guys to remove their names, and we have settled on these five. And they have been tested. We met with them and we asked them several questions. This is not just a waving of the hand and hallelujah, go serve. Being a deacon means something, because they serve you. That's their job. They don't have another job. The church historically has done some things that don't line up with Scripture. Their job is to serve the body, to make sure that you all receive ministry, so that Stephen and I can spend time in prayer and in study of God's Word. Now, I'm still going to be there because I love all of you. And my door is always open. I served with a pastor who had an open door policy, and I've watched the power of the impact of that. He said anybody that wanted him at any time could come and see him, and I thought that was an awesome thing. And then we used to go in at 9 o'clock, and then he started showing up at 6:30 so he could study, and everybody found out, so they started coming at 6:30 because he had an open door policy. But these men have been tested. And these women have been tested, not for perfection, because if that were the rule, we're all disqualified. Amen? Amen. It's not perfection, because I'm done. And they would be done. They would not make it. It's for willingness and teachability. And the elements listed here. Teachability matters, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not, I don't even know if that's a real word, but it works. If you're not teachable and God can't speak to you, and he can't, how can you grow in your relationship with the Lord and in your walk with him? You say, well, I don't like what he's telling me. That's why he's telling you. Because you've got something that he doesn't like in your life. You say, well, I've never heard the voice of God. Have you ever felt bad about doing something and had a thought, maybe I shouldn't do that? Or had the thought of, before you acted, you thought maybe this is wrong and I shouldn't partake in it? That's called conviction. That's an evidence of your salvation. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to do that. So if you're having that, praise Jesus that you're saved. If you've never experienced that, I want you to meet Jesus today. I hope you meet him. He's why we're here. We're ordaining some of these men, and some of these men are being installed because they have been ordained previously. And it's important that the number one thing that we have, that we all have is the Church of Jesus Christ, is that we have a real relationship with him. You know, we all hear about that a lot, don't we? We all hear about a relationship with Christ. You need to know him. He needs to know you. But I've never had a relationship with somebody that I have no conversation with, that I just think about occasionally, and I don't really care what they say. I'm going to kind of do my own thing. That's not a real relationship. And so you go, well, wait a minute, I don't know about all that. That's where the Spirit of God works. I can't make you want that. It's the joy of knowing him and the joy of walking with him. And listen, there's a price to every decision you make, every decision. If you choose to follow him, there's things of the world that are going to fall out of your life. If you choose not to him, there's things from the foundation of the world that he's created you for that you're going to miss out on today because you choose not to do what God's asked you to do. See, you're going to pay a price. It just depends which price you're willing to pay. They have been tested. And we have found that they're teachable. And that they meet these requirements. Those deacons who serve well obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith. Listen, men, your service, if done right, will affect you. You're going to change. This is going to be a growth time for you. You're going to mature in Christ. You're going to learn. The Holy Spirit is going to begin to convict you of things that maybe you've not been convicted of in the past. He's going to show you new truths. You're going to start feeling led to different things. You're going to start to sense his voice in a new and fresh way. That's part of the journey. And so he gives us these deacon instructions in 8 through 13. But then he gives us some understanding of why he gives us these instructions in verse 14 and 15. He says this, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And so he gives us here an understanding of why these things are important, why these elements are supposed to be in your life. And the reason is so that you're going to know how to behave in this role that God is calling you to. And he points out and calls out a couple things to underscore the seriousness of the preceding passage. This is the household of God. These people, as you look around, they're his people. They belong to him. My Bible tells me that God bought me with a price. That was the shed blood of his only son. And so I belong to him and nobody else. And as I serve you, as I serve him, I serve you. You are his, not mine. And we got to be careful that we don't lay our hands on the things of God and claim them for our own. I can give you tons of Old Testament passages where men tried to do that and they paid a price. This is the household of God. They are His people, and we need to love them. We need to love them with the heart, the love that God gave us, with which He loved us. And it's a joy to serve. I mean, look around. These people are easy to love. Well, most of them. This is the household of God. This is the church of the living God. Listen, God is involved. God is involved. This is His church. This doesn't belong to us. You know, it's so funny how things happen today in society. We talk about a church as so-and-so's church, depending who the pastor is, don't we? Oh, that's so-and-so's church, or where's Adrian Rogers' church? Listen, this church belongs to Jesus Christ. He doesn't belong to me. I'm expendable and replaceable. This ain't about me, believe me. It ain't about me. It's about what God does in you and you being free to explore the joy of what that means. And to watch His people rise up for His glory to take their place in the journey that God has called them to. And so if God has called you here to this church, to this body, to this place, as these men have risen up to take their place in service, I encourage all of you to do the same. If you're praying about where God wants you to be, I want you to know we're praying for you. Because there's only one place God wants you to serve. And if it's here, we want you here. And if it's somewhere else, we want you there. We pray that you'll find it. Because if you stay here, you're supposed to be somewhere else, you're hurting two churches. All I want is God's will be done. May we, at the end of our life, hear the phrase, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter now into your rest." That's our calling. We're called to Him, not to ourselves, not to elevate. Deacon, the job of a deacon is not an elevation. It's a step down. It's a service role. But make no mistake, the hand of God will be upon these men as they serve. And if you think God can't get a hold of somebody, He can. I've watched it. And I know they're going to do a great job. This is the church of the living God. We need to listen to Him. He is leading. He is in charge. He is the one. The Holy Spirit leads this body of Christ. And we submit to Him in His word. A little bit of understanding. This is the pillar and support of the truth. We must be uncompromising to the Word of God. We have to stand for what it says. If we don't stand for what it says, if we bring our own interpretation, our own things, we throw out the things that we don't like, then it's no longer the church of God. It becomes about us. And I will not, as long as this is my job from Him, compromise this book. I many times have had to sit, submit and bow my knee to God's word because Mark was wrong and God was right. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I can put my confidence in something greater than me. Because if our confidence is in me, you all are in big trouble. Let's just be honest. He knows what He's doing. Uncompromising. We have to trust and seek out what God's word says. That is what will last. That is the rock that you build on when the storm comes that does not get washed away, to where the house of God is built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and His word without compromise. Listen, if you just want to feel good all the time, if you just want to have flowers and everything coming up roses. You know, as I study the history of the church, I have yet to find a single person in the history of all of God's Word that everything was just great and came up roses and flowers. And yet we seek after that today. Why don't we seek after Jesus and let whatever comes, come? Why don't we get our hearts right and start pursuing Him with all that we are, with all our mind, body, soul, and strength, with all of our... anybody here messed up? My hand's up, just so you know. Welcome. Welcome. Look around. You're not alone. We're all messed up. You say, well, I don't want to admit it. We already know it, so you may as well put your hand up. We just haven't found out specifically what it is yet. Aren't you glad you came? Listen, this alone, the household of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth, this puts our behavior in context about why these things matter. Deacon candidates, that's why they matter, because this is God's business. We cannot go in and take this lightly. We must do God's work God's way. Don't rely on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. It works every time because it's God's Word. I want to give you a little bit of deacon encouragement. We've seen instruction and we've seen understanding, but I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. I ran across this as I was studying for today, and I honestly have not seen the depth of this before related to deacon ministry. But I want you guys to take heart. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 says this: Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. So he's writing here to deacons, the overseers and deacons, it's about pastors and deacons. He's writing to them. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so he leaves us. Paul is writing here to the deacons, and he says he's grateful for their participation in the gospel. We participate together. The gospel ministry is something we do together. That's what we were talking about this morning in Bobby's lesson, about how the gospel was being shared through forgiveness and through doing the right thing and obeying God and responding to Him. And so we see here that He is grateful for them and for the work that they had done. He says he's confident God is going to complete the work He started in them. Listen, God will finish what He started in you. He's not... When men and women surrender their life to the Lord and surrender their life to ministry, God will complete what He's calling you to do. And so often we're told you need to try harder. You ever heard that in church? Try harder, read harder. Well, you failed. Let's turn over a new leaf. January 1, We're gonna make our new resolution. We're gonna read the Bible every day. January 3rd. Oh man, I forgot. Oh, the kids went back to school. It threw everything off. Listen, if trying harder worked, it would work every time. Truth, let me say this, truth works every time. If I drop a feather and it lands on my foot, it feels like a feather. If I drop a hammer, it will also land on my foot. There's no time it will float. Truth is always true every time. So if you're holding to something that you think is an element of godliness and it's not working, it might be time to abandon that and get into God's Word. I want to challenge you because the truth is, oh, Marky's got some of that too from days gone by, things that people have taught me. You don't have to raise your hand, but did anybody here ever look for a verse, tried to find it in the Bible, and found out it wasn't there? I can't be the only one. And I've been to seminary. But that's the reality, is we've got to strip all that out. That's why we have to pursue these things that are excellent, that is what's actually true. So he's confident. Listen, God's going to finish what he starts in you. And we're going to do this together. We're going to mess up together. I tell anybody that wants to join here, I tell them, I want you to know this. I expect you to fail here. I expect you to fail. And it's okay. If you fail, that's fantastic. At least you're shooting. If you don't shoot at all, it's never going to go in. But I'm also going to fail you. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's get on to what God's called us to. Let's get all this fake stuff out of the way. We don't have time for it. You know, I think I was talking with James this morning about time. We kind of see time as an endless thing. Where we've got all this time in the world and, oops, when I die, I've died. Whoop. And the thing with time is this. It's finite. The time that I spent yesterday is gone. I can never get it back. And so we need to be redeeming the time. See, these guys here were partners in Paul's ministry and imprisonment. They participated with him in the days that were fantastic and the days that were hard. And that's what real friends and that's what real servants, that's what real partners in ministry do. You stick together and you work your way through the hard things. And you stick together and you experience the joys and the agonies. That sounds like the old ABC News, ABC sports commercial. Remember the guy who would flip over the ski jump? The agony of defeat. I'm dating myself. Some of y'all are like, what is he talking about? See, his prayer for them was that they would, that their love would abound in real knowledge and all discernment. See, those go together. Men, these go together. If you don't know what this book says, you're not going to be able to discern what God is saying and what's going on in the moment. Real knowledge and discernment. You can see a lie when you know what's true. And if we don't know, then we're vulnerable. But be encouraged, because I'm going to take a role in your life in that area. And we're going to go through some deacon training. We're going to do some other things. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're like, boy, what did I sign up for? The goal is to embrace only excellent things. That's what we're after here. Embracing only excellent things. Only that which is of God. Listen, there's so much out there. And I understand there's all these things and they're cool and they kind of, they're fun. And I don't necessarily think they're wrong. But if we try to do that to replace a genuine, authentic experience with God, then they become wrong. If I try to get you to have awe and wonder of God because I've got some amazing light show or I've got screens all the way around, you can feel like you're actually in the television, then what have I done? I've actually supplanted God with myself or God with technology. Now, if God leads us to do that, that's different. We better know it's God, though. That's why he's in charge here leading and not us. And so realize, men, that you've been filled with the fruit of righteousness. Let it out. We need you. Let it out. We need you. Many of you are already doing it. But let it out. We need you. I'll give you some things to never forget. When serving as a deacon, you must never forget the behavioral choices you make matter. You may discover that God will give you some new convictions, like we talked about. Or you start to think about others before you act. The behavioral choices you make matter. You know, we have this idea that we kind of live in a vacuum. Oh, if I just go sin by myself over here, I'm in my little place over here, no offense, Condria. But I'm over here and I'm just going to sit off and sin by myself. That's okay. I'm not hurting anybody. Really? What if God was wanting to use me in that moment over here with somebody else? Life is not a vacuum. We're in this together. We're in this together. And there's some people, have you ever met somebody who's never met a stranger? Right? And then you can meet people that are like, you have to kind of have to chase them just to get to say hello or not get to know them. We're like, don't talk to me. All the bad things don't happen on this side, by the way. Just And so we get, the behavioral choices we make matter. Let's not miss a single moment. You must never forget that we are doing God's work. We have a tendency to only see the people we're ministering to and forget they belong to him. Well, this is so-and-so, or they, you know, we're doing this. They belong to Jesus if they're saved. And our goal, let me say that, I'm going to... Our goal in all relationships is always reconciliation, always. And if you don't come in with a heart of reconciliation, if somebody says, I'm not here to reconcile, I'm done listening. I'll just tell you up front. If your goal is not to heal, then your heart is wrong. Our goal needs to always be the unity of the body and the love of Jesus Christ. And what God's doing with each other in that moment. Rarely have I seen God just work on the other person. Unfortunately, he works on Mark too. Or fortunately. And it's usually a two-way street. And so our job, deacons, pastors, is to help them have that relationship, a healthy relationship. So we're doing God's work. We must never forget that he will fulfill what he started in us. As we serve him, he grows us. It can be painful at times, but he grows us and he changes us. And he finishes what he starts. Listen, deacon ministry is a calling from God. Remember, when you see the hand of God, it makes all that other stuff worth it. When you're there in the moment, somebody says, hey, I need to be saved. There was a service not long ago. I was in the foyer. And we were about to get started. And I heard Stephen starting to get ready. And somebody walked up to me and said, Pastor Mark, I need to be saved. And you know what? I was late to service that day. Because that's what we're here for. If I'm going to be late, that's going to be the reason. Well, one of the reasons. I want that to be the reason every time. I want that to be the reason. Or I need to be baptized. Or God has been convicting and working with me in this area. Or God set me free from this thing that had me trapped. I'm going to deal with that as a parallel for just a moment. We've all been convicted of things that we know that shouldn't be in our life. Or things that we think we're trapped to or that we're stuck on. And what happens is, as we surrender to God, God frees us. We're really already free, but that's a whole other sermon. But if you make the mistake and do it again or participate again, the enemy will come in and accuse you and tell you how horrible you are and say, what, you know, you lied or all this stuff. And remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. God has already forgiven it. You're free. If God sets you free, according to his word, you're free indeed. But we live like we're not. Don't live that way. Don't believe that lie. Well, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. I understand this. Is this true or not?
Yes.
Okay. Then what's the problem? Yeah, we are. Well, I just don't have a desire for God, or, you know, I've got to go to church, and it's really a chore. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe you're lost. That pastor just told me I was lost. You know what? That could be. Remember he said the truth hurts sometimes? Somebody told me I was lost. Thank God they did. Thank God they did. So that I can receive Jesus and find out what real life is all about. The truth is here for your blessing, not for a curse. And I read a story about an old faithful deacon. He often repeated this prayer. He would say, "Oh Lord, touch the unsaved with thy finger," in all his prayers. And one night at a prayer meeting, he was leading prayers and began to repeat this again as he so often did. He stopped suddenly and didn't pray. And the people started to get worried about him. And somebody went over and they said, "Deacon, are you okay? Is something wrong?" He said, "No." He said, "As I began to pray it, God spoke to my spirit and said, 'You are my finger.'" We so often pray for God to do a work when we are the hands and feet of God. That's deacon ministry and service. And where we're at now, gentlemen, it's time to go to work in service.